Welcome to the September session of the International Low Vision Support Group. This month's topic is Where Did I Put It? And our presenter is Polly Abbott. Polly is a certified vision rehabilitation therapist and director of rehabilitation services at Second Sense in Chicago, Illinois. This is an edited version of an online seminar presented by Polly for the Hadley School for the Blind. You'll hear her discuss strategies for using organizational techniques to maintain independence and control of our environment. I hope it'll provide new and helpful information for you.
Where did I put it? Let's talk about some ways you can stop searching for things in your home. It is a little bit daunting trying to organize, you know, your whole living arrangement. So I really do recommend that you start with just one area, one that's giving you particular frustration in the beginning. Also, as we go through the seminar, think about what works for you right now. It's important to identify what is working and then try to apply that to any other areas in your home. The other thing you can try is if you have important items that you're picking up and using around the home. By this, I mean things like your magnifier, perhaps it's the cordless phone handset or the TV remote. Think about having a designated home base in each room. And by home base, I mean a particular spot in each room that is the location that you are going to train yourself to get into the habit of placing this item on that spot. Now, if you are low vision and you know that color contrast works for you, that's probably your number one strategy that you're going to use to help yourself stop searching for things. And by this, I mean having something that's a light color against a back dark ground or vice versa. So if color contrast works for you, think about the color of the surfaces where you are currently setting things in your home. Are they dark colored or light colored? Then think about the items that you're setting on those surfaces. Are they dark colored or light colored? You need to do something to make those items stand out that are habitually sitting on those surfaces that are the same color. So you can do one of two things. You can mark the item itself in such a way that you're adding color to it. A really great thing that I like is the painter's masking tape that you can get at any hardware store. It comes in a bunch of different colors. Also, duct tape, electrical tape, they also come in different colors. And the tape itself is pretty permanent, so you can pretty much pick the color you want and stick a piece of it on the item just to make it stand out a little bit from the background. Another common problem in the home are electrical socket plates. A lot of people have trouble seeing those electric socket plates on the wall. They are generally put in to match the color of the paint, so if this is you, you might want to think about getting a color contrasting socket so that you can see it on the wall. And your magnifier. Most people I know, they're using their magnifier and they're putting it down and then they lose it. Tie something around the handle or put a piece of tape on it so that no matter where your magnifier is sitting, it's going to show up against the background. Another way to stop searching for things is to compartmentalize. You want to add physical or tactual limits to the space in which something is kept. This works for low vision as well as for people with no vision. The compartment itself can be color contrasted to the environment. For example, if you put a doily or a tray or a placemat or something between that dark colored TV remote, for example, and the dark surface of the coffee table, you're going to make that object stand out. And you're going to feel that tray or placemat. So this is what you use when color contrast just isn't enough. Containers can be just about anything, empty shoe boxes, Tupperware, baskets, Ziploc bags, bowls, dishes. If it's for things that are sitting out in your home, you can coordinate them so that they go with the decor and nobody even really realizes that they're actually serving a very functional purpose. I would say that trays are probably the most versatile and useful item for people. They've got sides, and sides keep things from falling out, and they also they limit the surface area in which you have to search. And possibly most importantly, physical objects like trays or baskets or containers send a message to anybody else in your home that shouts out, hey, this is where this item belongs. Other examples of compartmentalization, using a box or a tray to hold the mail. In the fridge, you can buy these plastic boxes at some hardware stores that are see-through, but they are specifically made to help you keep the fridge organized. IKEA has a lot of really good little boxes that are made out of wood that have multiple drawers. These are good for things in the bathroom. You know, they've got six little drawers. You can do one for your makeup, one for your Band-Aids, one for your hairpins, or whatever you think it's going to fit. Location. Location can assist you in finding things, but also identifying them. One of the first steps, though, is thinking about where you are currently storing things in your house. Ask yourself, is it logically placed in terms of where you're going to be using it? You want to save yourself a few steps. You want things to make sense. Think about things that you have to walk too far to get and see if there is a better place to store them. And the next step, easier said than done, declutter. There's a lot of self-help books out there that are useful, but they all say the same thing. They all say the less you have, the less you need to sort through to find out what you need. And in particular, I've noticed over my years doing rehab that spices in the kitchen and makeup for ladies are two areas where a lot of people possess far more items than they actually use. And by the time they do get around to using some of them, usually the item has expired. So you really do want to be on top of the things that you have in your house and only keeping what you need. Location, though, can also give information about identification as long as you approach it with a sense of purpose. Some examples are the hot sauce bottle is always placed near the hinge on the fridge door, and the ketchup you could decide to place near the handle of the fridge, so further out. If you have items that are similar inside your fridge, orange juice and milk sometimes come in very similar cartons. The orange juice you could decide to always place on the right side of the fridge, and the milk is always on the left. Clothing is organized in similar fashions, if you like. You can decide if you are low vision and maybe seeing the difference between black and navy blue is troublesome. You could get in the habit of always having your black clothes on the right and your navy blue on the left and keep that pattern throughout your clothing. So if it's in the closet, if it's in a drawer, or even with your shoes, you always maintain that anything black is on the right and blue is on the left. For safety, for toxic substances, this is one particular example where you want to be very careful. And it's important to organize your toxic substances in a logical location. All of this pretty much is common sense. But the difference is, with the visual impairment, you have to be much more intentional about it because you don't have your vision just to make up for those areas of organization where you haven't been thinking too much and to reduce the amount of time you have to go searching for things. Let's talk a bit more now about identification, knowing what it is that you have in your hand. With identification, people do use labels, and with that, I just want to say, remember, less is more in terms of labels. So in other words, you don't want to create a label to identify something if you can tell what it is by the location, as we've just discussed, maybe by its shape, texture, sometimes its smell. If you are reading large print, sometimes think about if you can use those shape and texture clues, because it's faster if you don't have to struggle to read. So when using shape and texture for identification, try not to get stuck on reading those labels if you can see color or use your sense of smell to find out what it is. You can also, again, pick particular items thinking very consciously about their shape or texture in order to be able to identify them. For example, socks. You might decide that if you're getting frustrated leaving the house wearing a blue sock and a black sock, that from now on you might just decide to only buy black socks that are smooth to the touch and only buy blue ones that have a ribbed texture to them. You could also decide to buy knee length or shorter length to help you tell things apart. For example, knee length socks for brown and trouser length or ankle length for beige or white. You might decide to keep your casual clothes on plastic hangers and your work clothes on wooden or wire ones to help you find things just that little bit more quickly in the morning. When you're shopping for groceries, you might want to think about getting in the habit of buying your food according to certain shapes or texture. And for this, I'm going to use the example of soup. There are lots of different ways that soup comes, and the idea is you choose a particular style of packaging to match the flavor of the contents. So, for example, you could choose that the small can of condensed Campbell's soup is going to be your tomato soup. You're going to choose a large, ready-to-eat can of Progresso clam chowder. You might choose the large pull-tab can for pea soup, or you might choose to have your onion soup out of the Lipton's envelope box. So when you reach into your pantry, you can pick up any can and tell simply by large or small, whether it has a pull tab or not, or whether it's in a box, you'll know what flavoring to ask anyone, or having to read a label or even make a label to identify it. There's lots of other ways you can label things by altering their features. For example, if you take clothing that has a tag in the back of the neck, you can choose to clip it to make a slit in the tag to mean a certain color, cut a corner off of the tag to mean a different color. If you have other cans in your pantry, you might choose to rip a label or rip a label completely off to denote other contents. For money, a lot of people learn texture and shape for identifying their bills, so you fold your 20s in half, matching the shorter ends and folding your 10s lengthwise, and there you've got a way to tell your money apart. So I guess what I'm trying to say is, start paying attention to what you can feel before you start to worry about having to make a label or find some other way of identifying that item. Because the shape, the texture can tell you a lot of things, and once you realize what it is that you're noticing, you can use that to your advantage. Labels don't have to be complicated, they often don't have to be permanent, and they don't need to be expensive. It can be something as simple as an elastic band that you put around a can of corn to distinguish it from everything else that's that same size or shape. Maybe you want to put the rubber band around your conditioner to tell it apart from the shampoo bottle. And often a label like that won't tell you what the item is, but the location will. You're not going to find that can of corn inside your shower where your shampoo and conditioner is. What do you do, though, if the labels that you need are larger than the item? Well, with some things, it's possible to store the item inside a larger container. For example, medication bottles. They're really much too small for many people to attach large print labels to. The solution is to stick them in a box or stick them in a Ziploc bag with that large print label so that you can keep track of it. But what do you do if you are unable to read print labels of any size? Nothing is better than Braille, but there are lots of other options. You can make tactual labels out of a lot of different things. For example, puffy paint or glue guns, which you can get at craft stores. They take more effort to make. Usually you're printing large print letters out of these items, which create a raised letter. But they are fairly permanent and therefore worth the effort. And if Braille is just not for you, they are going to give you that edge on your independence. There are devices also that help identify what's there. They're a little more expensive, though. There is a device called the PenFriend. It sells between $120 and $150. And with that, you're sticking a little dot that has a computer chip in it, and you touch the tip of the pen to the dot, and you press a button, and you can record what that item is. So when you go back later and touch the tip of the pen to the dot, it's going to play back that message that you recorded to help you identify things. It's also a voice note taker, and it also plays talking books and a bunch of other things. There is also the IDmate talking barcode reader. It will tell you what something is if it has a barcode, which is pretty much every item in your home, and it comes with separate barcodes that you can record your own labels on as well. Getting back to the low tech for a minute, there are touch and see letters and numbers. These are sheets of peel-off stickers that have raised print and Braille on 3/4-inch high letters, black letters on white background. And they are around $16 from Independent Living Aids and are a nice way to get that combination of raised print and Braille so that you can identify what's what. Now, how do you keep track of information? You know, the mail, appointments, and notes to yourself. This is a huge area. The first thing I would say is keep all your notes to self in one place, be it a notebook where you're writing large print or some sort of recording device. If you keep things in a notebook, you have a chronological log of all the information you've been trying to keep track of, and nothing is going to get lost. If you are using a recording device, this is almost even better in a way, particularly if you are finding you're having trouble reading back to yourself information that you've written down. If you record something, that accuracy is going to be there, and that's pretty important if you're taking down dates and phone numbers and spellings of names for different things. When the mail comes in the house, sort it as soon as you can. Shred the junk mail right away. If you're using magnification to read mail, think about writing on the outside of the envelope what it is in large print, something that you can read without your magnifier later, if possible. If you are using Braille, you can Braille right through the top of the bill or through the envelope, and again, you'll have it to identify later, but also it will help your filing system so that at any point in time, you can go back reading that large print on the outside or reading the Braille to find a particular piece of mail that you've stored in your filing cabinet. You know, with labels on your papers, you can independently sort through, you know, a year's worth of gas bills or receipts and get exactly what you need without help from anybody. And don't be limited by what system you have been using to file. If it's not working, think about what you need to do so that it will work. Use color coding or put those polka dots or stripes on the outside if that's going to make sense to you. And if you can't see print, use Braille or go digital. You know, can you scan important documents and then give them a file name to save it in your computer so that you can find that and print it out if you need to give it to someone later? Again, use digital voice recorders such as the Wilson, which is very simple to use, the Victor Reader Stream. If you use that instead of writing notes and memos, again, you're going to get that accuracy, but also you're going to save yourself a lot of effort. The Wilson, just so you know, is $40 American. It was originally created for drivers. There's a clip on the back that is supposed to attach to your sun visor in your car, but I like it because it has only record button, play button, and delete button. So, and it's very small. It's just a little, I'd say twice the size of a packet of matches. Also, take advantage of technology. You know, is it easier for you to pay bills and manage banking on the phone? Is it easier to pay bills online? Whatever you can do to change your habits so that you're more independent might help you feel more in control of every aspect of your life. I guess those are the main things that I wanted to mention. You want to take advantage of the vision that you have with color contrast, because that'll help you notice things. Declutter to make it easier to find everything. Make labels only when you can't identify something by shape, texture, size, or location first. Think about what you are easily finding and identifying in your home right now. Ask yourself why it's easy, and can you duplicate that system to anywhere else? And just in terms of setting up some of these organizational systems, please don't reorganize your whole home after this presentation. You're going to not be able to find anything. Pick one area that's bothering you and work on that first. And it might take a little bit more effort than what you expect, because not every system is as simple or as easy at first. If you're living with other people, you're going to want to talk to them about the changes that you're trying to implement, because those changes have to work for them too. Also, be patient and keep trying new ways. You know, once you get one system that starts to feel normal, then work on someplace else. Because as I said in the beginning, trying to organize everything in your life can be quite overwhelming. Well, I hope you've come away today with at least one new idea to help you take charge of independence with your organization. You know, a lot of the techniques that I've mentioned are part of being a rehabilitation therapist, but there is a lot of really good information out there on general organization for things in the home. Organization, I think, is something that everybody struggles with, visually impaired or not, and as a result, there's a lot out there that's interesting to read and can help you. So thank you very much for being here today.